which is essentially the Shemoneh Esrei of Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, which we're going to discuss. Everyone have a copy? If everyone needs more copies, there are copies here in front. Everyone should please take a copy of the Shemoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. Thank you. Just pass them to the back, okay? There are more copies. You have in front of you the Ashkenazic Shemoneh Esrei, Musaf Shemoneh Esrei Rosh Hashanah. I imagine you're aware of the fact that the Tefillah Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is probably the most beautiful of all the Tefillahs in the course of the year. I personally look forward to it. I love the Rosh Hashanah davening. I find it to be the highlight of my entire year. For two reasons. One is because only three times a year do I daven with Kavana. 2 days Rosh Hashanah, 1 day Yom Kippur. But probably more significantly, the themes of these tefillos are just absolutely so fundamental and reflect the very essence of what Klal Yisrael is all about. Let's just examine the overall structure of the tefillah of Musaf Rosh Hashanah. And I'll begin by just pointing out things that are fairly obvious. I probably will not be saying any chidushim, but I will tell you that really, if you want to understand the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, you have to spend hundreds and hundreds of hours exploring it, which I was zochet to do in the course of many years. And also, I was zochet to hear from my rabbeim. And even before my rabbeim, my father, Shalom, was very interested in tefillah. And I was zochet to hear from my father from a very young age, many fascinating vignettes and insights into tefillah, not just tefillah in general, but specifically tefillah of the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. You're all aware of the fact that every Shemoneh Esrei, in the course of the week, consists of, I'm speaking about the regular Shemoneh Esrei, we have three brachas in the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, which we're all familiar with, the bracha of what's known as the brachas of Shevach, and they are Magen Avraham, Mechayi HaMeisim, and Okel HaKadosh, the first three brachas of every Shemoneh Esrei. The last three brachas of the end of Shemoneh Esrei, of course, are the brachas of Modin, Hatov Shimcha, and Sim Shalom. And then we have in the middle brachas, the middle 13 brachas, that are called the brachas of Bakosha. And this is the so-called tripartite structure, which is Shevach, Bakosha, and Hodah. And Sach HaKol, we have 18 brachas and 19 brachas, the bracha of the Shmuel HaKotin that the Gemara mentions in Maseches Brachas. On Yom Tov and on Shabbos, as you know, we've eliminated the intermediate brachas, the brachas of Bakasha. Why they've been eliminated is really the subject of the Machlokes, the Babli and Yerushalmi. I heard from Rav Soloveitchik many, many times. According to the Yerushalmi, there's an Isser of saying Bakasha on Shabbos, and so those brachas cannot possibly be recited. As a matter of fact, the Poskim even discuss whether one of Rosh Hashanah is permitted to issue or to ask Hashem for different Bakashas. I'm not going into that issue. That's a very fascinating machlokas among the poskim. Ideally, on Rosh Hashanah, one should be davening exclusively for what the Balatanya in Likutei Torah indicates is the main theme of Rosh Hashanah, namely the coronation of Hashem Yisbarach. V'yitu l'cha kesem melucha. That on Rosh Hashanah, what we're doing is we're crowning Hashem as King of the Universe. And this idea, you don't need the Baal HaTanya to tell it to you. It's also found in the Nefesh HaChaim of Chaim Balozhina. And it's also found in the famous, you look in the Siddur Agra, in the Hakdama to the Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, you'll see this idea expressed very, very clearly. The Rosh Hashanah is the time when we focus on the Malchus of Hashem Yisbarach. Came out every Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, every Piyut of Rosh Hashanah is related in some form or fashion to the Malchus of Hashem. But the idea is not just found among Gdolei Achronim, it's Beferish and Mishonim, for those who learn Mishonim on the Masechta, on Rosh Hashanah. So this is a very fundamental notion, and therefore Bakasha really doesn't have its place on Rosh Hashanah. And they also explain why there's no video in Rosh Hashanah, and other elements are also missing from the Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, but I'm not focusing on that now, I'm just mentioning it, Derech Agav. So on Yom Tov and Shabbos, we've eliminated all the intermediate brachas of Bakasha, And instead we have what's called the bracha of Kedushas Hayom. Namely on Shabbos we say Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos. The middle bracha, bracha number 7. On Yom Tov we say Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael VeHazmanim. That's the bracha of Kedushas Hayom. And we have Sach HaKol 7 brachas. On Rosh Hashanah we're going to add 3 additional brachas. And again I'm not discussing now the source of that. That's discussed by the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, Sach HaKol, how many brachas should we have? We should have 7 plus 3, which equals 10. But Chazal had a Kabbalah, there are only 9 brachas in Rosh Hashanah. And as a result, 2 of the brachas had to be combined. And this is the subject of Machlokes Tanoim, the Mishnah of Rosh Hashanah, 3 opinions that the Mishnah quotes with reference to this matter. And we'll discuss in a few moments which of the 2 brachas we have actually merged, have combined together in order to have 9 as opposed to 10. What we're going to do is I'm just going to examine the very basic structure of the Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah. I find it to be very exciting, and I basically was exposed to this at a very young age, at the age of 7 or 8. My father, Shalom, studied the Tefillah with us very carefully, and then later on I heard from our Rabbeim, especially Rav Soloveitchik Zichron Livracha, who spent an enormous number of hours examining Tefillah and Piyutim. If you take a look here, what I did was I numbered each section. So number 1, as you can see in front of you, in the upper right hand corner, hasn't it the 3 classic brachas that we're familiar with, Magen Avraham, Nechaya Mesim. Going to number 2, or rather the last line in number 1 that says Atah Kadosh V'Shim HaKadosh, we would expect it right there that the bracha should end right there, Baruch Atah Hashem HaMelech HaKadosh. It does not. On number 2 you see we have sort of a rather lengthy 3rd bracha which begins with V'Chein Tein Patzecha, V'Chein Tein Kavod, V'Simloch. It's a very fascinating issue why that's so. And it might very well be that this reflects one of the positions of the Tanoim that we don't pass them like, but it probably does. I'm not going to discuss that. I'm just pointing that out to you, something which is of great interest. Number 3, as you see at the top of the page, we have the 3rd bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem HaMelech HaKadosh. And now following that, we have the classic structure of Yom Tov. As you know, every Yom Tov begins with Atah V'Chartanu. I've mentioned this many times. I also heard this from Rav Soloveitchik a number of times, that in every Yom Tov Shemoneh Esrei, if you look, and I'm not talking about Rosh Hashanah now, I'm talking about Yom Tov in general, how many times is the idea of Yom Tov mentioned in the Tefillah of Musaf? The answer is 3 times. At the very beginning, as you have over here on number 3, V'atitnu lanu Hashem Elokeinu bi'ahava, we mentioned the specific day, Chag HaMatzos, Chag HaShavuos, Chag HaSukkos, and then in the section that begins with Nechato Einu, going over to number 4, we have a second mention of Yom Tov, as you see. You see in the beginning of 4, Yes, Musfe Yom Hazikaron Azeh, here it's talking about Rosh Hashanah, which is called Yom Hazikaron. But during the Shalosh Regalim we have here, I'm looking at the Siddur, we have mentioned Chag HaMatzos, Chag HaShavuos, Chag HaSukkos. And then usually, the 3rd time, we also have Yom Tov mentioned in every Yom Tov Shemoneh Esrei, in the Tefillah that precedes the Bracha of Kedush Sayom. Namely, the Tefillah that begins, Vasiyenu Hashem Elokeinu, is Birkas Moadecha. If you remember that Tefillah, so there, right before that, we say that Shalosh Pam Bashana Yira Kol Zechurcha, we mentioned the Shalosh Regalim. Is that found over here in the Shemoneh Esrei Rosh Hashanah? No. There's really 2 discussions here that are important. One is there a mitzvah Aliyah LeRegel on Rosh Hashanah? The answer, of course, is no, because Rosh Hashanah is not one of the Shalosh Regalim. And therefore, there's no mitzvah Aliyah LeRegel. But then the next question is, what about the bracha of Hasiyenu? Is that bracha recited on Rosh Hashanah? So, of course, you will not see it here in the Shemoneh Esrei, and Rishonim at the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah discuss it at great length. And they discuss it in the context of another important issue, is there a mitzvah simcha on Rosh Hashanah or not? And this is the subject of another shiur, or many shiurim I should say, because there seem to be evidence in one direction and the other direction. On the one hand, it seems to be that Rosh Hashanah is a day of Chag, of Yom Tov. On the other hand, there are many rayas that there's no din of simcha on Rosh Hashanah, especially in a Yom HaDin, in a time of judgment, a person is not going to be dancing and singing and involved actually in simcha. But this is a very famous issue in Rishonim. Tumult on this left and right, and in Shulchan Aruch you have steers all over the place. If you learn Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, you can say there, which I do, you'll see all kinds of contradictions regarding this matter. So the 3rd time is not mentioned here, the idea of Yom Tov. Why is Yom Tov mentioned 3 times in general? So Rav Soloveitchik recorded and recalled a conversation he had with the Torah Tmimah. I assume you heard of the Sefer Torah Tmimah. He met the Torah Tmimah when he was 7 years old, and he said the Torah Tmimah asked him the following kasha. Torah Tmimah was bothered, why do we end the bracha every Yom Tov with the following chasima, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim, which is like a generic bracha for all the regalim? We should itemize and specify each Yom Tov. We should say Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadosh Yisrael v'Chag HaPesach, or Matzos, whatever you want. That also needs discussion when we use each term. Mekadosh Yisrael v'Chag HaSukkos, Mekadosh Yisrael v'Chag HaShavuos. Why do we say Mekadosh Yisrael v'Azmanim, which is a generic term that describes all the Yom Tovim? We should specify and single out. We should individualize each particular Yom Tov. This is a question that Rav Soloveitchik was asked by the Torah Tmima when he was 7 years old. He's in the Mishpacha, Shtikl of the Torah Tmima, and the Rav gave the following answer when he was 7 years old. And I'm not going to give you the whole answer now because the Rav said a whole drasha on this for several hours. But later means 50 years later. But he said that he told the Torah Tmima, Yom Tov is mentioned 3 times in Chumash. It's actually more than 3 times, but primarily 3 times Yom Tov is mentioned. Which of the 3 major parshiyos that Yom Tov is mentioned? Number one, the most important parsha, which the Mishnah Yom Tov Megillah calls the parsha Hamoados. Emor, correct. What do you have in Emor? When the Torah describes the Yom Tovim in Emor, it more or less tells you the calendar day. What else does it tell you there? One other aspect is mentioned in Emor of each of the Yom Tovim, and that is the aspect of the mitzvahs that are associated with each Yom Tov, namely the case of Sukkot, the Dalaminim, in the case of Rosh Hashanah, the Adi of Shofar, in the case of Yom Kippur, the Din of Inui, v'chulu v'chulu. That's in Emor. Then you have the second parsha that mentions Yom Tov, which is Pinchas. That has what element, of course? The carbon Musaf, correct. And then the third major parsha, which is found in, people in Chutzar should know this, I imagine by heart, Aser to Aser, don't they read all these things in Chutzar? If I recall correctly, I forgot already what they do over there. Namely, Parshas Re'eh. The Parsha Re'eh has in it, of course, what aspect of Yom Tov is mentioned in Re'eh? Obviously not the Karban Musaf, and obviously not the calendar day or the Mitzvah Yom, but rather, Aliyah LeRegel, and one other aspect, of course, the Mitzvah Simcha, that the Chazal, the Gemara says in a few places in Shas, Hukshu Kol HaMoadim Zelazeh. So we have 3 different aspects of Yom Tov. Said the Rav to the Torah Tmima, that's why Yom Tov is mentioned in Shemon Esrei 3 times. The first time, Atav HaChatonu V'Atitnu Lan Hashem Elokeinu B'Yavah, corresponds to which Pasha? You mentioned the Yom Tov, corresponds to Emor. The second time, Nechatayinu, corresponds to Pinchas, you mentioned the Karban. And the third time, Shalosh Pam B'Hashem, Yireh Kol Zechurcha, corresponds to what? To the Pashas Re. There are other Pashas that deal with Yom Tov, such as, where else is Yom Tov mentioned? 2 other Pashas minimally, Yom Tov is mentioned, in Mishpatim, and in Kisisa. There are really 5 Pashas Sach HaKol. There's actually 1 or 2 other references here and there. But there are 3 major Pashas with 3 major different elements, as I just described them to you. So the Rav said to the Torah Tmima, that regarding element number 1, namely the Emor element, there's no question, each Yom Tov is different. Each Yom Tov has his own mitzvahs, each Yom Tov has his own calendar date. Regarding the Karban, each Yom Tov has his own Karban. What about regarding the 3rd element, Aliyah LeRegel and Simcha? The answer is they're all essentially the same. The mitzvah Simcha, the Gemara says, Hukshu Kol HaMoadim Zelazeh, where is Simcha really mentioned, by which Yom Tov really has a full-blown measure of Simcha more than the other Yom Tovim? Sukkah is correct. It's a Mishnah in Sukkah, it's also Gemara, and a few places in Shas. Anyway, so you have the idea of Simcha coming to the 4, Dafka and Sukkah. And regarding Aliyah LeRegel, essentially the mitzvah is the same. The first Mishnah Chagigah tells you the obligation the person has when you go up to the Regel. So Rav Soloveitchik said to the Torah Tmima when he was 7 years old, since you have 3 mentions of Yom Tovim, the first 2 correspond to the first 2 Pashas. The third one in Hasienu and preceding it correspond to the 3rd Pasha. And there's a din of Me'ein Chasima, some of Chasima. There's a din that the Chasima Sabrach has to reflect the section that preceded it. So regarding the 3rd element of Yom Tov, which is found in which Pasha? In Re'ei, they're all alike. And the Mabel, the Bracha is Mekadosh Yisrael V'Azman. This is the answer given at the age of 7, Kach Shamati from the Rav, that he said to the Torah Tmima when he was 7 years old. And then, 55 years later, I was Zechat Yer Shia from the Rav, 4.5 hour Shia, where he, shall we say, filled in the details of this Yisod that he said to the Torah Tmima when he was 7. I beg of you, if you don't mind, otherwise I won't do anything. I hope you don't mind, I apologize. Okay, this is just by way of just a little vignette, a cute little vignette, that needs a lot of, the whole Yisod of the Rav is what to talk about, and I think it's not so pushy. But beside that, I want to go here again. Why did I say this to you? Because in number 3 begins the so-called middle bracha. And as I mentioned to you, the problem with Rosh Hashanah is that we really should have 3 brachas in the beginning, 3 brachas at the end, the brachas Yisrael in the middle, and 3 other brachas, Malchus and Shofros, which should give you 10 brachas, but as I told you, Chazal and the Kabbalah, there are only 9 brachas, so they combine 2. And we'll see in a moment where they combine. But I just want to examine the 3 additional brachas, and then we'll see the brachas that are combined as well. Look at number 5. Number 5 begins the so-called Malchios Tvila, Aleinu L'Shabeach. And everyone knows Aleinu L'Shabeach, as we say it all the time. And Aleinu L'Shabeach consists really of two segments. Segment number one is the first segment that begins with Aleinu and ends with Einod. And the second one is Alkein Nekaveh, the two Gersos over here, either Alkein or Ve'Alkein. Which one do you say? Alkein. Do you say that because it says here Alkein? Or because you have a reason why you say Alkein or Ve'Alkein? Well, Lamayin Afkamina. Okay, that needs a lot of discussion, a very fascinating issue. The Klal studying the Siddur is very fascinating. And what's the difference between these two segments? The answer is they're two different themes. And these two themes, said Rav Soloveitchik, reflect what Malchut is all about. Namely, what's the first theme of Aleinu L'Shabeach, the first paragraph? Whom is it talking about? The first paragraph, Aleinu L'Shabeach, is talking about, undoubtedly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Take a look. Aleinu L'Shabeach, that's we. Shelo Asanu, that's we. Lo Samanu, that's we. As opposed to them. Chelkeinu, Garaleinu, we are not like them. Why? Because they are involved in inanities. Shem Yishtachavim L'Hevav Arik. That, by the way, should be put into the Aleinu. Years ago, it was removed by the censor. And thank God it was brought back by Matzko Oskar, and many others as well. But I tell you the truth, I've been saying it for decades, because my father, Vashalom, said it. And so did our Soloveitchik. So I was already brought up with this at a very young age. And I think I was zeicher to also see spittoons in my early days when I was a kid, where actually people, when they came to Shehem Yishtachavim, they would, as they say in Chinese, Shpayois. They would basically expectorate into the spittoons. It's good you don't know what that means. But it was mind-boggling that such a thing could go on in a shul. Why did they do it? They wanted to express their disdain and contempt for the Mishtachavim Lehebavarik, for the gods. Chabad still does it. Okay, Mesedik Amor. Anyway, I'm not getting into that. But we say, V'anachnu Korim Mishtachavim Modem, we bow down to Hashem. We recognize Hashem, v'chulu v'chulu. Now basically, the first paragraph in Aleinu expresses the idea that we acknowledge the presence of Hashem, and we recognize His sovereignty, His hegemony. Mashenk and Yomas Olam, they unfortunately are in denial. They don't recognize Hashem. But of course, the whole idea of Malchios in the second segment, and that means the idea is that we want the entire world to recognize the Malchus of Hashem. And that's what we say in Alkei Nekaveh, we want Lahavir Gilulim in Aretz, that all the abominations should be eliminated, and idols should be completely karos yikaresin, utterly destroyed. L'taken olam b'malchus shakai. We want to have a tikkun in the world. And then we have one word, which is a critical word. You'll see it here, because it's repeated again and again. You can circle it. V'chol b'nei vasa yigum shmecha. Let all flesh call out to Hashem. L'apna tzedachu kol rishay yaret. Even b'shoyim should turn to Hashem. Yakiru v'yedu kol yoshvei sevel. Ki l'chaticha kol berech. Every knee should show homage to the Almighty. Which is the critical word that repeats itself again and again? The word kol, correct. Circle it. You see it every time. It says, sorry. The chol b'nei basa yugu b'shmecha, la'apno sedecha kol rishayot, yakir reidu kol yoshvei sevel, kil raticha kol bera, tishavah kol loshon. That's a very, very significant word in Malchus. Because Malchus expresses the idea that not only should we recognize the Malchus of Hashem, but we hope and pray the entire world will recognize the Malchus of Hashem. This is one of the most exalted ideas in Judaism, and really is the cornerstone of our Hashkafa. Okay, that's the first, number five represents the introduction. I just beg of you, unless it's critical, if you don't mind asking me after, otherwise I won't be able to really accomplish much. Is it critical? Yes, you wanted to ask something also, so. You want to ask something? Yes, do you mind asking after? Okay, so basically you have in each of these three brachas that we are adding, Malchus, Zechariah, and Shavros. In Malchus we have, in the introduction, it's basically what I call a glossary of terms, a definition of what Malchus is. And right now we're saying that Malchus has this duality to it, a dialectic. The present reality, the present sordid reality, namely that we recognize Hashem and they do not, and then the hope and expectation that the entire world will come to the Hakar of the Malchus Hashem. Then we have the middle section of each of the brachas, which is, as they would say in academic circles, 10 proof texts. Essentially, you have to the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, you have psukim that are going to corroborate, that are being adduced in order to essentially bolster the ideas that I mentioned in the introduction. And they consist of the following structure, 3, 3, 3, and 1. 3 psukim from the Torah, 3 psukim from Ksuvim, 3 psukim from Nevi'im, and 1 pasuk from the Torah. That you see, you can look at the bottom of 5, going up to 6. You look on your page, you'll see, that's pasuk 1. On the top of 6, v'ne'emar, lo yibid avim b'yakov, pasuk number 2. And pasuk number 3 is right after v'ne'emar, v'hi b'shurim melech. Those are the 3 psukim from the Torah. As you notice, word that of course is critical in all these three psukim is which word? In different variations, the word Melech Yimloch, or it says Hashem Elokav Yimo Suas Melech Bo Vayi Bishur Melech. Then we go on to the three psukim from Ksuvim. Ksuvim, by the way, are called by the Paikton here Uvdirei Kotshecha, as opposed to Nevi'im Vayidei Abarecha Nevi'im, and that's the subject of another discussion among the Rishonim. Why are Ksuvim called the Uvdirei Kotshecha? Why Nevi'im called Vayidei Abarecha Nevi'im? The simple pshat is that Ksuvim were written with what kind of tone? Beruach HaKodesh. And Nevi'im were written Beruach Nevuah. There's a fundamental distinction between Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh. What it is needs really a lot of discussion. But that's the preamble to each of these. And as we have now, another three psukim that are going to be quoted from Ksuvim. Again, the structure in the middle is 3, 3, 3, and 1. Now we're up to the three of the Ksuvim. So take a look. Hashem Amlucha Moshe Bagoyim is 1. V'nem Hashem Moloch Yeres Lovesh is number 2. And number 3, the Paikton seems to have forgotten how to count. V'nemar Sushar Mashechem V'inasu Pisrael V'yavim Al-Hakavav Mizem Al-Hakavav. We should recognize that because that comes from which Mizmor that we say every Sunday, correct? But there are more than one pasuk over there. So you have Sachakol, much more than three psukim. So this question, my father Vashom discussed with me at a very young age when I was a kid. And the reason why he discussed it with me, because I used to memorize the tefillos when I was a kid. My father gave me a nickel for each tefillah that I memorized, and then I knew the translation of every word. So by the age of 9, I knew the translation of every word in davening, and not so easy. You try to translate the following pasuk, for example. Berabam amol va'oven ki goz chish v'na'ufa. Could you translate that? I can, only because of my father. My father was mezaken me with a nickel, even though he got away, as I said, very cheaply. So I could never memorize this. I had difficulty. By the way, we had to memorize the Rosh Hashanah Tfilas as well. That was also part of the act, part of the deal. That was in order to give us a few more nickels. I find it difficult to memorize this Sunday morning Tfilah Susharim because it's very confusing. It's repetitive. I never understood what's going on here. So my father told me the following Yisod, and with that, I had it memorized easily once I understand it. And then I heard from Soloveitchik many shurim on this a number of times. Namely, take a look at the two sets of couplets. The first couplet begins, Su Shar Vashechem Behinasu Pisreolam. The word Behinasu is the Nifal form. If you have some sense of diktok, it's essentially the Sharim are being asked to open up their gates, but Neged Ritzonam. They're not willing to. They're resistant. They're resentful. They don't want to accept Hashem into the world. And so it says Behinasu. And that, of course, is contrasted with the second couplet where the language is not Behinasu, but Usu. Thank you. That's number one. Number two, here it says in the first couplet, Mizem Melech HaKavav. And the second couplet, what does it say? Mi Huzem. That's the second distinction. You should circle that too. And the third distinction, of course, is fairly obvious. And that is in the first couplet, it says Hashem Izuzu Gibor. And the second couplet, it says Hashem Tzvakos Melech HaKavav Tzela. These are three of the major distinctions between these two couplets. There are other distinctions that are a bit more nuanced. I'm not getting into them. What's the distinction between these two sets, these two couplets, these two groups? The answer is the following. That in the first couplet, the nations of the world don't want to accept Hashem. And therefore, Vihinasu, which implies against their will, there's coercion, there's hechrechiyut, there's kfiyah. And when, in effect, Hashem attempts to come in, V'yavu Melech HaKavod, their response is, Mizem Melech HaKavod. I heard from the Rav, Zuchen Nebracha, this pasuk reminds him of a pasuk in Chumash, the beginning of Shmos, where Paro is introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu says to Paro, he's coming as a Shech of Hashem, and Paro's response is, Mi Hashem Asher Hashma B'kol Olo Shalach Ad Yisrael. Lo Yadati Es Hashem, Begam Es Yisrael, Lo HaShalech. So the language of Mi Hashem, the Rishonim point out on the spot, is the language of temerity, of chutzpah. And here also, the language of the Goyim, of the Umas HaOlam is, what do they say? Mi Zeh Melech HaKavod, who is this God? And so, of course, the response of Hashem is, if that's the way you're going to respond, I will huff and puff and blow your house down. Hashem Izuzu Gibor, Hashem, they probably know about Humpty Dumpty, I imagine. Hashem Izuzu Gibor, Hashem Gibor Melchama. So those three, these three lines essentially reflect this idea that Neged Ritzonam, against their wishes, Hashem is going to get in. However, by the time the second couple comes around, they already have, shall we say, relented. They are mitkapel, and they're now willing to demonstrate and show the sovereignty of Hashem and acknowledge it. And that's why it says the second time, not Behinasu, but a Se'u. No longer Mizeh with chutzpah, but rather Mihuzeh, pray tell, what is he like? And finally, instead of a huff and puff and blow your house down, Hashem Yizuzi Gibor, the response is Hashem Tzvakos Melech HaKavod Tzela. The Rav said a 4-hour shiur on this. Unbelievable, pashut mind-boggling. But this is the Yisod, it's really, and the Yisod is found in Rishonim. You look at Rishonim, you see this very clearly. If you look, if you learn Tehillim, which I do, So you will see this found this idea in Rishonim. You know, these are the tvei dinim. These are the dialectic, the duality of Malchus is found right over here. Going on to the next section, the bottom of six. Idea of Adecha Neviim, again, three psukim. Kor Hashem Elch Yisrael B'Goalo, Hashem Tzvakos, Ani Rishom, Ani Acharon, Balodai Elokim. That's Pasuk 1. V'nema. By the way, the answer to the question, therefore, in Ksuvim, there are more than three psukim, there aren't, because all the psukim that are found, both Thushar and both couplets, represent one pasuk. It's one idea, one theme. So it's no stira. The Gemara, even though the Gemara says 3, 3, 3, and 1, it's lav dafka 3. The idea is to have, essentially, thematically, there should be thematic unity, thematic continuity. That's the issue. That's the concern that we have. Going on to the idea of Adecha Neviim, the first pasuk is Hashem Tzvakot Ani Bishov Ani Achrom. Second pasuk is Olam Moshim Bahatzion. And the third pasuk is Vayi Hashem Amelech HaKol Aretz. So here you have three psukim. Another structure, the middle section, which are the proof texts, is 3, 3, 3. And then the pasuk of Torah at the end, which is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. By the way, the pasuk Shema Yisrael clearly expresses this duality. Rashi in Chumash says it. Says Rashi, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Shehu Elokeinu, Hashem who's our God. He's in the future going to become Hashem Echad Shema Echad, namely be recognized by whom? By the entire world. That's really embedded in that pasuk is the dialectic of Malchus that I just mentioned. Okay, that's basically the tefillah of Malchus as far as why the second section. But there's a third section to each of the brachas, and that's found the next one on page number 7, or number 7 rather. That's the chasima. Now there are three parts, and the chasima is the bakasha that Hashem should carry this out. Namely, Hashem should, in effect, reign over the entire universe. And here again, what is the critical word? If you read carefully, you see it's obvious. Meloch al kol ha'olam kula b'chvodecha, which is the critical word? The word kol, you can circle it. V'inase al kol ha'aretz b'karecha. V'hofa badar gomzecha al kol yoshvei sevel atzecha. V'yeda kol pa'ul ki atofi alto. V'yavin kol yitzur ki ato yitzato. V'yomar kol ha'shem nesham b'v'yapon. Here you see Malchus in its, shall we say, fulsome and full-blown kind of glory and splendor. And the fact that we want everyone to recognize the Malchus of Hashem. And then, of course, the bracha also is Melech al kol ha'aretz. And here's where you have the response to what the question I asked before, namely, there are supposed to be 10 brachas. In reality, there are 9. 2 of them have been combined. Machlok is the Mishnah, three opinions. And here, what we have combined are two ideas. What are the two ideas that have been combined? Number Melech al kol ha'aretz, which is Malchus. And at the end of it, Mekadesh of Yom HaZikaron is the Kedushayom. We've combined Kedushayom with Malchus. This is against the Gemara in brachas. It's against one of the most fundamental kolam in Shas, in Chesim and Rishdayim. The Gemara says when you have a chasima, it cannot have two themes. Here you have two themes, and the answer, of course, is, as the Ramban writes in the Balamor, came out all the Rishonim write this Pe'echot, it's not two themes, it's one theme, because what is the theme of Kedushayom and Rosh Hashanah? The theme is Malchus. So it's really Hainu Hach, it merges into one, and so it's not a violation of this principle of a Chesim and Rishdayim. That's what the Rishonim write. Okay, so you see that each of the three brachas is going to have three sections. One will be the introduction, the finding of the term. The second will be the proof text, 3, 3, 3, and 1. And the third is the chasima, which is the concluding paragraph that more or less sums up into bakasha to Hashem that it should carry out, hopefully, the malchios. And number eight, you have zichronos. What ideas are embedded in zichronos? Just again, very briefly, in zichronos you have the idea that Hashem, of course, is scrutinizing every single action of a person, down to the minutest detail, down to the minutia. He's aware of every single action that we do. Not just that, he's also aware of our machshavos. Ein shichchol nechisichol decha. Here you have a lot of very interesting language that has to be examined, called ta'alumos, ha'amunistaros. The Mefarshim talk a lot about each of these words. And that's one very fundamental idea. Hashem has a panoramic kind of vision. Hashem transcends all tenses. He's neither just in the past, or just in the present, just in the future. A human being can only be in one tense. Usually we're in the present tense, which of course, as the Rav used to quote, Rav Hidayah Pnini, one of the great medieval Paitonim, who said, He'ovar ayin, the past is gone, Ve'ahove keheref ayin, and the present goes like heref ayin, Ve'ha'osid adayin. But the Almighty, the Rebbe Shalom, has this panoramic kind of vision, and he transcends all tenses, past, present, and future. And here's what you see. The entire world is being judged. It's a Mishnah. A Mishnah is Rosh Hashanah, that kol ha'olam kulo ovim lefanecha kibnei maron. They pass before Hashem, whatever bnei maron means. The Gemara has several explanations. And here we have a description of that din that takes place. The din, which is a sense of terrible, terrible dread that a person should have on Rosh Hashanah before the Yom HaDin. And so that's in number 8. So number 8 basically is the introduction which, as I said, every one of the brachas has a preamble, an introduction, a glossary of terms, and then starting with number 9, you see in the second paragraph, you again have the same structure, 3, 3, 3, and 1. Namely, we start Kakasav Sarasecha, Vayisko Elokim as Noach. Obviously, what word is going to be found over here in the proof text from the Torah? The word Vayisko, some sort of relating to Zichronos. And then you have the second pasuk, Benema, Vayishma Elokim as Nakasam, and finally, Benema, Zachat is Bisi Yaakov. Those are three psukim from the Torah. Ubedive Kachuk, I see it somewhat cut off, I'm sorry, I didn't xerox it properly. Ubedive Kachuk, Lakasu Lemar, Zecha Asal Niflosov. That's three psukim from Ksuvim, Benemar, Zecha Nasan Lireyav, Nebenemar, Vayiskol Hamriso, three psukim from Ksuvim, and then Vaidea Vadecha Nevi'im Kasa Lemar, three psukim from Nevi'im. Kaam Hashem Zachad Lachasin Uvayich, and then the Pasuk Yetur is going to 10. Benemar, Zachad Yani is Brisi also from Uvayich, and the last Pasuk of the Nevi'im section, Haben Yakili Ephraim Yel Shashuin. The Rav once said a whole shiur in this Pasuk. And this pasuk, he said, probably a two-hour shiur. A very fascinating pasuk, a very famous pasuk. There's a lot of nigunim. I don't know if you're into nigunim. Even the Sfarim have been digging for this pasuk, which I myself heard. Haben Yakili Ephraim in Yelet Shashuim. But the Rav asked the following question, which I also asked by the Mefarshim over there in Yemiyahu Lamed Aleph. It says that Ephraim is like a Ben Yakir. What does that mean, a Ben Yakir? Like a dear child to Hashem. Call yourselves compared to Ephraim. In Yelet Shashuim. There's a store here in Eretz Yisrael called Kfar Shashuim. I've gone there a few times to buy some presents for my grandchildren. That is, my wife has taken me there. Kfar Shashuim, what does that mean? That's a village of Shashuim, of all kinds of tchotchkes. That's the best way to translate it. And then we say, so Ephraim is like a dear child to Hashem, but Shashuim is really a child that you dandle, D-A-N-D-L-E, that you obviously treat with a lot of love and affection. So that means when I speak about Ephraim, I think about him. So the rabbi asked the kasha that all Rishonim ask, those who learn Yirmiyahu, Rishonim ask, the Seder here is out of order. It says, when I speak about Ephraim, I remember him. What comes first? Remembering one, and then speaking, obviously. That's the proper Seder. First you remember Ephraim, and then you verbalize it. You verbalize that remembrance. So the rabbi said that you see from here that the word Zachor in this context does not mean to remember. But what does it mean? It means to cherish, to appreciate, to have nostalgia for. That's the word remember that's used over here. And of course, the Rai is from the Ramban Chumash, in the Parshat Yisro, the Pasuk Zochar Zeh Mashab Zekatsho. The Ramban explains over there, Zochar does not simply mean to remember, but to look forward to the onset of Shabbos with tremendous anticipation, with great nostalgia. That's what Zochar. Zochar means that over here. And then the Rav went into a long Arichus, but I just showed you this very fascinating expression. Alkein homo me'aylo rachim rachmenu mashem. So we have here again 3, 3, 3, except there's one problem. Where is the one? The last pasuk of the Torah has disappeared. It has not disappeared. It happens to be found in the last section, but this is different than the other Malchus that we saw before, and the question is why? Why is there suddenly a distinction between Malchus with the pasuk number 10 is found in the middle section, the last pasuk Shema Yisrael, and here it's somehow moved to the bottom? So of course we have to see Achyav HaKosav HaShish Rachweh Benem. You have to see what goes on with Shefros, and then we'll be able to decide which is the correct approach. Yeah. That's a good question that all Rishonim ask. And there are really two answers. The answer that Rishonim gave is because the psukim are quoted in their chronological order. Namely, the psukim first from Torah, and the ksuvim are primarily from Tehillim, which David HaMelech wrote. David HaMelech, Basara's Kedin, the Gemara, Babasa. And therefore, that comes before the Pesukim and the Vim, which are primarily from Yishayo, Yimyo, and the like. And therefore, goes the fee, Seder, chronology. I believe that answer is not sufficient. That answer did not satisfy me when I saw it many, many years ago in Rosh Hashanah. And so I once had the audacity to suggest to Rav Soloveitchik another answer. First, I thought about it for 6 years before I went over to him. And then I came up with an answer, which usually he listens to you for about 20 seconds, if you're lucky. If you get 20 seconds in, you're pretty good. And I said, suggested an answer, and which I think he later on really developed way beyond anything I could have imagined in a million years. And the answer basically lies in the distinction between Ksuvim and Nevi'im. But I can't describe that or discuss it because it needs a lot of intricate work. Because in general, one of the problems with Ksuvim and Nevi'im, just to give you just derech agav, is, for example, take a sefer like Daniel. So I always thought Daniel belonged in which section? Nevi'im. I mean, Daniel mentions the four Goliaths which we have Arayom Hazeh, we still, shall we say, a good friend over there. I assume he belongs to that particular one of them, Yishmael. And it would seem that that belongs in the Nevi'im. And yet the Gemara says in Megillah, and the Rishonim clearly indicate, the Gemara Babasa, that the Neil is found in the Ksuvim. And another Sefer, for example, let's take a Sefer in Nevi'im, really belongs in Ksuvim and not in Nevi'im, such as, let's start with the first Sefer, Yoshua. What's Yoshua doing in Nevi'im? Has absolutely no connection to Nevuah. Pashtas. Yoshua deals with the 31 Melachim and the Kibush V'chiluk of Eretz Yisrael. What's he doing over there? In general, this leads us to we have to figure out, number one, what belongs in Nevi'im, what belongs in Ksuvim, what the nature of Ksuvim is, what the nature of Nevi'im is, what the definition of a Nabi is, what Ruach HaKodesh is as opposed to Nevuah. It's a very big topic. It needs a lot of, but I believe the answer lies along those lines, and that's why the Seder follows that particular, there's an order here, there's a conceptual order, I believe, not just a question of chronology that would the Rishonim say. Back in this Tefillah, which is the Tefillah of Zichronos, you have the Pesukim from Nevi'im, and then if you go now to number, as I said, in number 10, the last part is the Chasima. We ask Hashem to remember the Bris, and then we have the last Pasuk in Torah recorded there, and Akedah Yitzchok Lazar Hayom Bracham in Tiskar. Why is Yitzchok being mentioned? When did the Akedah occur? Rosh Hashanah, that's the Gemara. And as a matter of fact, we read, as you know, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we read of the birth of Yitzchok. The second day of Rosh Hashanah, we read of the Akedah Yitzchok. It's also very fascinating in and of itself. Rav Kook Zatzal has a lot to say about that. And Bechlal, it's a very fascinating topic. I'll mention it towards the end, which we already are approaching. In number 11, you have here, Atun Iglesa. Now we're introduced, which bracha? Shofros. And basically, what is Shofros? Just to define it a little bit, which is the part number one. We first mentioned the Shofar of Matan Torah. That's the first section. And all the way going to the Shofar Shel Mashiach. But what's the definition of Shofros? What does Shofros basically herald? When one hears the Shofar, the answer one hears Gilu Shechina. That's very clear from the Psukim here. That's how Rasa Leji used to say as well. Atun Iglesa, Baran Kvodech, Hashem, Bechvodu V'atzma appeared. Alam Kotshech, Aladabri Imam, Min HaShamayim, Mishmatam Kolecha. This is all Matan Torah. Gam Kol Olam Kula Chol Mipanecha. Ubrios Beishes Chodu Inecha, when Hashem appeared in Har Sinai. And then we start on the bottom of 11. Kakos B'Sar Asecha, start counting the Pesukim. From Torah, 3 from Torah. Vahi Vayom HaShlishi, number 1. V'nema Vahi Kol HaShov, Holy V'Chazik B'Yel, going to 12. Number 2. V'nema V'Chol HaRom HaSakolos, that's number 3. And then Avdivei Kotshecha. Now here you see already a problem. There should be 3 Pesukim over here. It's obviously more than 3 Pesukim, namely Olo Kim Yisrua is number 1, Bachatzos Kol Shova is number 2, Tikva Chodesh Shova is number 3, and then suddenly, Halleluka, Halleluka, Halleluka. Rishonim were very bothered by this. Again, we've lost count, or maybe we're so carried away, we forgot how to count. And the Rav Zichron Livracha suggested, no, that's not the case. In effect, what you have here is when a Jew is Lifnei Hashem, when a Jew, the greatest simcha that a Jew has is being Lifnei Hashem. And when a Jew is Lifnei Hashem, what is our reaction? Unbelievable simcha, unbelievable joy, and we start dancing, just like a person dances at the wedding of a chassan v'kala, where you have Shechina Shuria B'nei and Ishva Isha. So here also, when one is in the presence of the Shechina, one begins to dance, and therefore this Halleluka is a natural kind of reaction to the Shofros Gilu Shechina idea, and that's why there's no stira regarding three psukim. Even though the three psukim is lav dafka, you don't have to be so mitakesh, you learn the Rishonim, and that's sukkah, you see, it's lav dafka three, but the Rav always tried to explain it in terms of thematic unity as opposed to numbers. Anyway, on the bottom of 12, here again, 3 Pesukim from Nevi'im, Kol Yoshvei Sevel, and then the third Pesuk which is found on number 13, at the end, Hashem Tzvokos Yogin Alein, Kein Togin Alamcho Yisrael B'Shlomecho, and again, we're looking for the last Pesuk of the Torah, and where is it to be found? In the third section, which is the Chasima, the closing section. So now we have two of them, namely, Zichronos and Shofros, with the Pesuk of Torah appears at the end. Only Malchus appears in the middle, and that's the question that Rishonim are bothered by, what is that Pesuk doing in the middle? If it's two against one. So seemingly, the way it should be presented is at the end as opposed to in the middle. And that's a question that needs explication. Why is there a distinction? Why is Malchus different? And why is the Pesuk there in the middle as opposed to being at the end? And Kanirah, the answer lies in the fact that we have done something in Malchus which we didn't do in the other two segments. Namely, we've combined two themes. And because of the combination of two themes, somehow we cannot put that Pesuk of Torah at the end as we can do with Zichronos and Shofros. Okay, I would have to explain that, which I'm not going to do now, because it needs a lot of, also a lot of hesber. But that's more or less what Soloveitchik suggested, based on the Ramban, and based on some other Rishonim. I just should point out to you, this last bracha of Shofros is very similar to another bracha. The Rav used to compare it to another bracha in the davening, namely, When we say Shomer Kol Tuas Amo Yisrael Berachamim, so this bracha is compared to which other bracha in the davening would you compare it to? Not exactly the same, but more or less. Shomer Tefillah, correct. It's very similar. And the truth is, this bracha always reminds me of the Ramban in Chumash and the Ramban in his drashas and Rosh Hashanah. The Ramban calls Rosh Hashanah Yom Din Berachamim. You ever saw the Ramban in Emor? Beautiful Ramban. Also the Ramban in his drashas Rosh Hashanah. He calls it Yom Din Berachamim. Rosh Hashanah has three names in Chazal. One name is Yom Adin, one name is Yom Zikaron, one name is Yom Tua. The Torah calls it Yom Tua Yelachem. Does it mention in the Torah anything about the aspect of Din? The Rosh Hashanah is a time of judgment? Absolutely none whatsoever. Not even a hide or hair remez of such an idea. The Ramban said there was a Kabbalah, a Masera, Ramban the Chumash writes this, and also the Drasha, and the Ramban the Chidushim, the Ramban in the letters. Many, many times the Ramban speaks of this idea that Rosh Hashanah is an aspect of Din. But the Din is tempered by Rachamim. We hope that Hashem will be mamtik the Din, will sweeten the Din. The Ramban calls Rosh Hashanah Yom Din Berachamim, a day of Din that's tempered by Rachamim. And that's called Hamtok HaSadin. I'll just show you, I actually didn't Xerox it here, but if you look, it came out, every piyut of Rosh Hashanah has this double theme. The theme of Din, tempered by Rachamim. I actually am very fond of one of the tefillos that Ashkenazim don't say, but Ashkenazim do say, in the Sana Tokef. That's why I'm very makpid that tefillah should be said properly. I spoke about it already a few times. You know, the proper niggin, maybe the niggin that should reflect the awesomeness and the somber quality of that particular tefillah. And unfortunately, what people do today is they simply take kalbach or some other niggin and attach it to it, which is very, to me, very disturbing. What can I say? But I've thrown in the towel. I basically have given up because most people don't have nusach, unfortunately. And chaval, the nusach has been lost and has been, to a large extent, maybe I shouldn't use this term, prostituted. And chaval, that's the way it is, and that's the tragedy of one of the tragedies of this generation. Whatever the case is, in the Sana Tekev, if you examine it carefully, you'll notice it's divided into two. You probably don't remember, but I'll just give you the general overview. It begins by speaking about Din, U'malochim yechafezun, v'chilu rado yechazun. I remember when I heard, as a kid, Chazan Davin, U'malochim yechafezun. Poshut, it went right through my bones. I was shaking as a little kid. It had such an impact on me. That niggin on the Sana Tekev, which was sung for probably 20 minutes. And then after that, we say, Mi Yichya, Mi Yomus. And recently, what I hear in Bali Tefillah sometimes, a guy sings, it's one of my favorite topics, as you probably know. The guy sang, Rabbi Steinman, Rabbi Goldschmidt, he said, Lo Yuman. Unisachanek toke, kiddusha, sayom, bum, bum, bum. So I wanted to shoot him on the spot. Except, I had two problems. One, a gun is muktzah, and two, it is isav leisirtzach. But if not for that, I would have shot him. I would have pulverized him on the spot. And that's what he sang, the whole Nisana Tekev. And then he went on with the mi yichya mi yomus in that light as well. You know, with that kind of mahalach, what can I tell you? So I didn't know what I should. So I started crying, basically, because I just pushed it, didn't know what to do anymore. Otherwise, I would have shot him. I would have eviscerated him, quartered him, and sent out a chelek to all the Shifte Yisrael. But I didn't do it. Yom Tov, you know, have to be polite and simchadik, etc., etc. Anyway, kitzur, what was I about to say here? That's the first part of the Sana Tokev. But then in the middle, we have the following very famous line, which is Utshuva, Utfila, Utstaka, Rabina Surak Zera. And that completely changes the whole atmosphere. And if you take a look after that, you have to know the Tefillah well, you'll see that there we mention afterwards, we highlight the fact that we're trying to sing the Shem Hashem. The word Shemecha is mentioned about 15 times after that. What Shem are we referring to? The Rishonim say Yudke Vavke. It starts with Din and ends with what? With Rachamim. And what are we trying to do? Take the Rachamim of Hashem and hopefully overcome and engulf the Midas Adin. That's the whole tefillah in the Sana Tekev. And come out every P of the Rosh Hashanah has the same dialectic, the same duality. They're all written by Rav Chaim Briska. No, I'm just joking. But it's all Briskas. From beginning to end, it's just mind-boggling to see the dialectic of every single tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, which I've explored over the last 40 years. And it's unbelievable. Every piyut, whether it's, for example, Mem Zayin, which we say before Tkiyah Shofar, Mem Zayin is Tehillim. If you take a look at that piyut, the same idea. The Ramban says it. He revealed the sod. Ashri ha'om yedei surah. What does that mean? Happy are the people who what? Who what? Know how to blow shofar? No, the Ramban says, yedei, those who know the secret of the Truah, how to basically take the Truah, which is the Midah Din, and essentially turn it into Rachamim. All the Elohim B'Sruah, we start with Midah Sadin, and what do we end up with? Hashem B'Kol Shofar, Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's all you saw, the whole tefillah of Rosh Hashanah is, everywhere you go, you see it. All the piyutim, left and right. And the cloud, as I said, anyway, the Tefillos of Rosh Hashanah are so beautiful, so gorgeous, and as I said, I just love them. I look forward to Rosh Hashanah. Don't you? Not just because of the honey dipped the apple in the honey. That already doesn't get me too excited. I get more excited about the Tefillos of Rosh Hashanah, which are absolutely beyond belief. I want to, but I haven't succeeded in my shul. On Yom Kippur, actually, I wanted to do what I did when I was in YU, and what I did when I was in Boston. The rabbis say slichas every tefillah. I tried to introduce it in my shul, I didn't succeed. There's a lot of hitnagdut on the part of Balabatim because they would not have a break. I said, where does it say you're mechuyit to have a break? It doesn't say that anywhere. Slichas is mentioned by Rishayim, mentioned by the Torah. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that the Amaratzim, the printers who printed Siddur and the Amaratzim, they eliminated slichas. We only say slichas in certain tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah. Which ones do we say it in? Anyone remember? At nighttime, I'm sure you remember, because nighttime is a lot of time. So, you know, Kol Nidre night, you have a lot of time for slichas. Then, what else do we say it? Slichas? Anyone know? Yom Kippur? Which tefillahs do we not say slichas in? There are tefillahs we don't say. Maybe you'll take a look at the Maksa, you'll see we don't say slichas in every tefillah, pilei ploy. And it's definitely neged hadin, neged halacha, neged everything. So we have basically a dor of amaratzim, including many, many wonderful shuls that don't do it. And the Rishonim did it, and it's clear in the Torah, Shulchan Aruch, and here I have a strong position, but I can't get it through. Rabbi Goldschmidt, my shul will not accept it. I tried a few times. I even printed sidurim, special contrasim, had everything ready, and then it was just like almost a riot. I can't do everything in my shul. I tried, but I haven't succeeded yet. Now I have 200 balabatim. Lately it's been a spate of new people moved to Beit Shemesh, another 50, 60, 70 families, and they're of a different, shall we say, ilk than I am. And so we have a little bit of, what do they call it, chichuchin, here and there, on all kinds of issues. Anyway, it would be nice to say that, but they feel that without a break, we can't daven properly. Okay, I hear that also a little bit. So I say, start earlier, we'll start at 6 o'clock in the morning, Mazim Shaneh. It's Yom Kippur, Yom Tefillah. It says, Me'erev Ad Boker. On the Erev Ad Erev, we the first, the Ashkenazim and Yom Kippur night have a beautiful piyut. And the piyut is, I hope they don't leave without me. Yale tachnunenu me'erev, v'yavo shabbosenu miboker, v'yavo yunenu arev. My father was shalom, I remember as a kid, I didn't go home on Yom Kippur. We slept on the benches in the shul. My father said tilim the whole night. We learned the avodah, the mishnayos. That's what I did as a 5, 6, 7-year-old kid. That's what I remember. That's why it says chazanim shouldn't do it because they'll lose their voice. Mentioned the poskim, mentioned the Shulchan Aruch. That's how I grew up. It was a Yom Tefillah day. I remember I have such beautiful memories. I'll just tell you one last story to finish the matter, which of course is part of the tragedy of Klal Yisrael. Usually, Yom Kippur, when I was a kid, the Yankees were always in the World Series. The Yankees, New York Yankees, they're now building a new stadium. That's what I understand next door. I don't know why. That's really a beautiful stadium. Anyway, the season then was a bit shorter than it is today, maybe 15, 20 games shorter. 150 so games, and the seventh game always came out somehow, almost always, on Yom Kippur. And the Balabatim were not exactly into the davening even then. Things haven't changed much. Now we have Baruch Hashem, I think, greater awareness because we have Sidurim, we have Machzorim in English, and we have Pigushim and explanations, and people come to my shul. What I see in front of them is just, I don't know what I should, Baruch Hashem, I should be happy. All these very fascinating books they have, people are really just, I get such a kick out of it. But it's good. Those are positive things. Bikitzer, around 2 o'clock, 2:30, in the middle of the Avodah of Yom Kippur, the Avodah of the Musaf. And I was lucky because I was zechut to learn my father, Mishnayos of Yom Kippur, of Yuma, and I learned the Masechta already a few times. And with the Rav, I heard Shurim on the Masechta. On the Mishnayos of Yuma, the Avodah, he said for 2-3 months once. And so I have a bit of familiarity. I'm not sufficiently familiar with it. I always have to review it. Anyway, at that time, 2:30, the Balabatim, you know, the Avodah, how many bullocks could you offer? And how much blood could be shed? And then next door, there was an inn or a bar. There was a bar with a massive TV screen. And it had the Yankee game. And the Yankees were playing, I think, in the World Series. I think it was the Red Sox, if I'm mistaken. And so all of a sudden, the shul began to thin out. And the president of the shul decided that he wanted to lose the people. So what did he do? He went next door, saw exactly what was happening, came back in the shul, gave a patch, told the chazan davening musaf to stop. And he announced, the score is, in the middle of musaf, the score is Yankees 5, Red Sox 4. He himself was all excited. The Rav of the shul, Zechayim Nevracha, was an Adam Gadol. I won't mention his name. He fainted on the spot. I think he literally fainted on the spot. I myself saw it. I remember it. My father, Shalom, ran up. I saw my father running out of his seat. Ran up to the shul, to the president of the shul, the bima, smacked the president across the face. This is what I remember when I was maybe 5 or 6 year old kid. So I was horrified. I was pushing, couldn't believe it. My father did it. Although I have a lot of my father in me. And he pushed, smacked him across the face. And my father couldn't believe such a chutzpah in Yom Kippur. So, but the president meant well. I mean, he just wanted to get the people back from the bar into the shul. They weren't inside the bar. They were outside watching the screams, a whole group of them. And that's what I recall from one of my days. But two things I remember. People also were not so much into the tefillah then. My father was showing me to sit with us and explain the tefillahs from the time we were young children. And then I had Rabbeim, who also I was zeichet to have contact with, and they explained the tefillahs to me. And I found the tefillahs to be so beautiful and so lofty and so moving. When you understand them, they take on a totally different character. Literally, it's almost like it's a totally different world. You're so attracted to them. And plus the nigunim of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is just absolutely beyond belief. They're so gorgeous. They're so beautiful. I'm very attracted to Rosh Hashanah, but tefillahs we have to study. And the more you study them, the more you'll have a great appreciation. Anyway, we should all be zeichet to have a wonderful year. As Rav Chaim used to say, that's what the Rav used to say. He used to wish people the Shana Tovah, the Kasim, the Chasim, so Rav Chaim would say, the Alta L'Chaim Tovim, the Sifrin Shal Tzadik and Gemurim. But in order to do that, we have to learn Torah. Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecha. And then, the Kaveinu Makir L'Avasecha, and that's the way to do tshuva, is by Liman HaTorah.